It's a real presence today, here tonight. It's been there all day long, really. And even in prayer earlier, it's one of those times where you just kind of, Lord's just shifting things. And I think that a lot of you in your ministries, and we're all in different places in the Lord. And it's amazing because, you know, years ago, I had this practice where I had these Olympic level people, but then I had these others who were just starting out. It was a mixed crowd, and it was always amazed how the Lord would always show me how to teach on the different levels. And so a lot of times you may or may not be aware, that's what the Holy Spirit kind of does, is he moves and kind of hits everybody in the room in different ways. That's why I just never really know what he's going to do sometimes. And he put this together really quick for me today, which was really wonderful. I didn't have to fight or, you know, wait for the bird to chirp or anything like that. It just came, and it was easy to write it out. But it was kind of strange the way that he laid it out. And I know you're saying, what are you talking about? Well, you'll find out. But just want to encourage you. I just want to mention, we do have a guest speaker coming in a few weeks, Jack Little from Arizona, and I'll be sending some stuff out. And he just confirmed yesterday that he'd be able to come. So he's going to be in the area, and we were... Yeah, I try as best I can to bring in some just really good teachers and so forth of the fivefold, and we have them in our midst. We have them locally and regionally, and now internationally they've coming in, and we had Nikki recently from IFC, and it's just amazing to me the quality that is coming, and I'm just looking forward. It's so nice to come in for me personally to sit down and get some ministry, and there's others that are here that are going to be sharing in the future that haven't shared yet, and I'm just really looking forward to it. So just be in prayer about that. Of course, you'll get the text, and if you're not on the text list, then Terry's got the list somewhere. Amen? Well, let's read here. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple, that I may know how to sustain a weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn backward. Father, we just thank you for your presence here. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to continue to manifest yourself whichever way you see fit, that you'd open up our ears to be able to hear tonight, Lord. That you'd also, Lord, not only open up our ears, but open up our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to be able to see. You know, it says in your word, you said that you only did the things you saw the Father doing. And so, Father, we want to only do the things that we see you doing. So we need to have our eyes opened into that. So, Father, we just thank you in advance for what a wonderful blessing it's been to be in your presence tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that with this shift and this change that's occurring in each one of us tonight, Lord God, that we're going to leave here much different than we came in and full of your Holy Spirit and more understanding and a greater hunger than ever before. I believe for that tonight, Lord, that'd be a greater hunger than ever before in every vessel here to seek you out, to stay in more prayer, to stay in your word more, to be more involved in ministries that are occurring them around them, Lord, in a greater sensitivity. And I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open up to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. This is talking about the paralytic, and we'll start at verse 1 here. It says, when he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together. There's a gathering occurring there. So there was no longer room, not even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. So he was teaching in this house, and people were gathering together, and it just got really crowded. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And so, you know, Jesus at this point, you know, it doesn't give us a lot of time in terms of how long it took. But obviously, when the presence of God was moving so strongly, and Jesus was God in the flesh, that they brought people, man, that were sick, you know. And you know what it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, a meeting or is gathering or is coming, and you bring people with you, and, you know, you because you want to get them healed or you want to having to experience God, and it's a wonderful thing. And so these four men were bringing them. And, you know, it's so symbolic. You know, I think about the four men, the four Gospels. It just kind of speaks to me that way, that the four Gospels carried this individual in. So anyway, just throw that out. And they came bringing him a paralytic carried by four men. Behold, unable to get him in because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug in an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their face, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And so you can imagine this picture. They're digging a hole through the roof, and I don't know whose house it was. Maybe it was Peter's. Man, I don't know. I've had some crazy home groups back in the day. 80 people transling through my house, 1,600 square foot house. It wasn't fun, but you need some crazy home groups are fun when they're crowded. You know, it's a good thing. Anyway, so he comes in. He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. So they had some experienced believers there, or supposedly Jewish people there, and they were already critiquing what's going on. It's good to have a critiquing Holy Spirit, but it's not good to have a critical spirit, because sometimes we are criticizing things that we don't understand. And they were obviously doing that. "Why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them. And I want to point this out. Jesus was aware in his spirit what they were reasoning within themselves, not just one individual. He was scanning the group. Now, he's God in the flesh, correct? And but he's moving in what we call words of knowledge, which is one of the gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. And so he's demonstrating that. And so he is aware what's going on. And you know, because he only does the things he sees the Father doing, he obviously sees the Father, what the Father's going to be doing with this paralytic person. So he sees them, their thoughts that are going on there. And he says, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or say, 'Get up and pick up your pallet and walk?'" Now, that right there would make them got their attention, because, well, he is reading our mail. Amen. This is obviously a prophet. And probably put the fear in him. Because not only did he read your thoughts, he throws a question at him and says, "Which is easier to do?" And now they're really... they're sitting there, he's really got their attention. He says, "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up and pick up your pallet and go home." And he got up and immediately picked up his pallet and went out in the sight of everyone. So they all were amazed and were glorifying God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So this guy's paralyzed, and Jesus is reading their thoughts, and he gets up and they see, and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And that's one of the most wonderful things that you and I can ever, ever have, is to know that our sins are forgiven. Amen. I mean, we are forgiven. Yeah. And it's so nice to say that we're forgiven, because just like, it's something about that, just like lifts off all the weights, you know? We live in a critical world with critical people and critical situations, and we get put down all the time in different scenarios. And you know, but just to know that you're forgiven, that you're going to live forever, and there's what can the world really throw at you, really? Once you know where you're going, your destination is, and there's not really a whole lot can really happen. And yet we get bombarded. Yet we get hit. And I want to talk about that tonight. I don't know how it's quite going to come out, but I want to talk about the battleground of the mind. I want to talk about people that are paralyzed in their minds. I want to talk about our thoughts and how our thoughts make us. I want you to walk out of here with plenty of information on how to minister to the blind. I'm talking about the blind in the mind. One of the things I think I've seen more than anything in the last 4 years is I've seen blind minds opened up. Time and time again, it seems like all my encounters with people or situations, God is always doing something to take away the blindness, to open up people to his reality. And through the prophetic word and things like that, God like brings them to attention and brings them to himself. And that's one of the things that makes your ministries authentic, is that when you're ministering to people, they're going just like here. They were glorifying God. They're not glorifying you. They're glorifying God. The gifts of the Holy Spirit always directly point to Jesus. Your ministries must be centered in that. We have a lot of performance out there. We have a lot of people that are following after men and women, but they're not following after the Lord. And, you know, we don't want to get into that performance situation, because when God starts moving through, he probably already has, to the dimension that he's going to do in these last days. It's very, very important to make sure you're always pointing to the Lord, okay? It's not us. It's him in us, amen? And so these the thoughts that we have, it says in Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. As a man thinks within his heart, so is he. So as a person thinks, so is he. And that's something that Solomon had, that observation maybe, but I think really it was just that wisdom that God gave him, because it says in the scriptures that God gave him a spirit of wisdom that no equal of that time. He had such wisdom. And so he makes this statement. So I want you to think about that. And you know that to be true. As you think, so you are. It's just the way that it is. And so where will our thoughts come from? What thoughts are going inside of your mind? What thoughts are going inside of my mind? I don't know about you. It's nice to get words of knowledge of what's going on in people's hearts. That happens at times. But I don't want to know everything that's going on in anybody's mind. I don't know what's going on in mine. You know, and some people think, man, if I could just rewire myself just a little bit. But you know what? God has made provision for all of this. Not only has he made provision for our thoughts to get ordered, but he's made provision for us to be able to minister to people who are in confusion, who don't know who they are. And so as a person thinks, so is he. So your thoughts determine who you are. There's more than this, but I'm just listing a few. They determine who you are. They determine your identity. They determine the course of your life. They determine your well-being. They determine your decisions. And ultimately, they determine your destiny. That is your thoughts. You can't see a thought. You might have had one way my glasses fell off. You can't see a thought. Have you ever seen a thought? I haven't seen one. These are unseen things. And so people have such a hard time believing God, and yet they are controlled by an unseen thing. So God is, you maybe can't see him, but he is. And he's more real than our thoughts even. But thoughts are unseen. You cannot see a thought. But yet they have this power. And it says that in 2 Corinthians 4:4, let's look this up real quick, because I want you to see this. Some of you have got this memorized. You even know what I'm going to read, say before I say it. It says, talks about in verse 4, verse 3, it says about people who are ministering, it says, they're ministering to people, they said, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It says that in whose case the God of this world, that's a big lesson that you guys, when you're ministering, people always say, you know what, if there's such a loving God, why is there so much suffering in this world? He is not the God, he is over the world, he's over everything, okay? But the God of this world is Satan, and he blinds the minds. He wants to blind people to the reality that God is, and he does it. He's a very skilled adversary. He's been here for thousands of years, and he has deceived many over that period of time. And how does he blind the mind? He blinds the mind by projecting his thoughts, by controlling the people that he has around us. He does all kinds of different scheming, but he's always targeting the mind. That's his target. He is an unseen creature. He moves in a realm that is in the unseen. And that's the thought realm. Thoughts are in a realm of themselves. People often say, maybe they've said this to you, you're in your own little world. I've been told that many times. You're just living in your own little world. I go, oh, you're absolutely right. I am in my own world, you know, and I like it sometimes. But you know what? When my world's going right, I like it. But when my world's going wrong, maybe I don't like the world I'm in. What world are you in? What is going on in your mind 24/7? And these are the things that set you free, but also the things that give you identity. And this identity is something that the enemy is so strongly after in our society right now. It's a big thing. You know, identity. I identify as this, identify that. Isn't that so funny that in the end of the end of days, that's what the big thing is, the identity. People identify as this, identify as that. And they can have choices. And so these are doctrines of demons. It says in the scriptures that in the last days there would be doctrines of demons. And these ideologies, as they call them, are being taught in the universities. It's been online and so forth. You can look it up if you want. You can find out all the different genders. And it's like a smorgasbord of a lot of things, and people can just pick up just one. And when they pick them up and they start to look at them, that what comes behind those identities is a whole stream and river of thoughts that they think of that is themselves. Now, we do have our own thoughts. But when you understand that you have a humanity that is under the control of the God of this world, he wants to keep them blinded, because if they ever get a hold of the gospel of light, their revelation of truth comes inside of them, and they know the reality of truth, and it's almost like now the blinders are off, they see the truth, they know the truth of who they are, where they're going, all the above, and they become a real threat to the devil, because they know that when one guy gets lit up, another one will get lit up. It's like fire. It catches. And when you're on fire for God, what do you end up doing? You have to start praying for people around you. You start talking to them. You start believing for them. You get engaged. You help them. You're kind to them. And he hates that. It's just a matter of time. When somebody gets around fire enough, God fire that is, they're going to catch on fire, because they're going to want that. They're going to see that your mind and the mind of Christ that is a function, I'm getting ahead of my message here, that is functioning, they're going to want that. They're not going to understand, why in the world are you at peace when all this junk is going on? How can you be optimistic? They don't understand that, because they don't operate in the mind of Christ yet. So the enemy is after this. He blinds the minds, and we have a ministry, you do, to open blind eyes. This is a mandate, I would say, from the throne room of heaven to everyone here. You are called to open blind eyes now. You will confront people who need to have their eyes opened, and you will be anointed to do it. And God will give you the information, words of knowledge, that only God would know. This is the key. We're talking about a key earlier, the key of opening up. It's like the thing that opens up the heart. When Jesus was at that woman on that well, and he said, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. He said, you say correctly, you've had five husbands, and the person you're with right now is not your husband. Well, that's certainly, you know, she realized that. She goes, I perceive that you're a prophet. Do you know that God wants to give you that? You can count on, he wants to give you that kind of information. Now, you know, the first time I ever had anything like that happen to me was before my grandfather passed. I was at Boy Scout camp. I know somebody said, oh, you were a Boy Scout? Yes, I was a Boy Scout. That's a Weebelo sign. But no, I was a Boy Scout, and I was at Boy Scout camp, and we were doing the gravestone rubbing. They were ancient things, trying to figure out when people died. You could hardly read the things, and you put the paper on it and scratch it, and to tell you. And I didn't want to go in there. I said, I'm not going in there. And my best friend goes, why? I go, it's my grandfather. He goes, where's my grandfather? I just don't know. I think he's going to go. And then I came back from Boy Scout camp, and my dad took me down to see him, and I saw my grandfather, and we were really close, and he was, I'll never forget, it was, he had white shoes on, it was back in the 70s, and he had these white shoes on, and just kind of a blue shirt, and like a blue shirt on tonight, and I never wear blue, but anyway, I have a blue shirt on. So I said a blue shirt on, he's white shoes. I'm going, man, he just looks great. And that night he's playing cards, laid down a card, went right up. And I knew. I said, how did I know that? And people, you know, the world says, oh, it's just deja vu. No, the Holy Spirit wants to communicate. And he threw a thought. He spoke to my heart. I didn't know it was him. And over a period of years, as I got closer with the Lord, as I began to take up my calling, more started to come, and more started to come. And I just know things about people, not to hurt them, to help them. And I then realized that when I started coaching, that anointing that is on you and me, we start to engage in what God puts in our life to do, all of a sudden he's giving me information into athletes' hearts and coaches' hearts and things like that. And so these things that Jesus is talking about, I'm operating in for good. And that's how I was being trained over years. You're being trained the same way. You mean to be aware of it, that there's something going on, and with what you do for a living or where God has you planted right now, he is instructing you how to move in words of knowledge to understand what it is that's going on in somebody else's heart, because he can only look on the heart, not man can. And he wants to give you these bits and pieces of information so that you will step out in them and have success in your ministries and change people's lives and open up their eyes. Because behind that gifting of words of knowledge, there's healings that take place. So many times a word will come and then healing comes right behind it. Sometimes I'm not even aware of it. I get a report back from it. But it's the Holy Spirit that does it, and he's doing that in you right now. He has been training you and conditioning you in this moment and in this season for a move of the Holy Spirit throughout this earth. The gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached through you. It's not going to be up to the pastor. It's not going to be up to the church, per se. It's going to be up to you because you asked for it. There's something that you did in your prayers. There's something that you said at some point in time that the Holy Spirit said, oh, you know what? I'm answering that prayer. And he's going to send you out. He's positioned you strategically. You are exactly in the perfect will of God right now of your life. And there's a reason. And some of us have had to have old wineskins ripped off of us, because in this move, it's going to be a lot different than we've ever known. We'll see some things. There'll be some old things, there'll be some new things, but it will be a new wineskin. And we have to allow the process of the Holy Spirit to rip off all these old ideas and old ways of doing things so that we might enter into a new ministry that opens blind eyes. So, the God of this world, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says in verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness, where? In heavenly places. We know that the Apostle Paul said that he was caught up into the third heaven. He didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body, but all of a sudden he's in paradise. He saw things and heard things, and he talks about this experience. But we see things are in heavenly places. If there's a third heaven, there must be a second heaven. And the second heaven is where the realm of the demonic are. And they're around the atmosphere of this earth or wherever they are. They're in the unseen realm or whatever, but they're here. And they have influence over this world. Now, again, I will say this. The Lord is over everything. Jesus has had all authority has been in heaven and earth. But you have to understand, it says that the reason why he delays in coming is that not all would perish. But the church does have something to do with the return of Jesus Christ and when he comes back. And people say, well, I've never heard that before. Well, read Matthew 24. The disciples asked him specifically, what will be the sign of your coming? And he begins to answer them. And he talks about the birth pangs. He talks about the earthquakes. He talks about all the things that we see happening right now. But at the end, he goes, and this shall be the sign of the end of the age, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. Peter said that the church, he said that we could hasten the coming of the Lord. And Jesus gave us that answer. So that is in your and my hands. We are the generation. We are the generation that is going to usher in the return of the Lord. We are the generation that is going to be permitted to be put on be dressed in fine linen. Because it says in the book of Revelation that the bride had made herself ready. That means we have heard our marching orders. And you, everyone in here, I guarantee if you really get into prayer, depending on where you're at, I know different places, but where you're at, you know there's something that's about to take place from within you. You know that there's something about to take place. So Jesus goes on here in verse, let's go to John chapter 18. And these are scriptures that you're familiar with, but I want to go through them because I want to lay a case. Verse 33, it says, therefore Pilate entered again to the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. It's very important to when you're ministering that people need to understand this, because that's one of the reasons why people don't understand God or believe in God. They don't understand that where Jesus was coming from. He was not, his kingdom is not of this realm. This is the material realm, or where the fallen realm, or whatever you want to call it. It's not the realm of where the kingdom of God is. And therefore Pilate said to him, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify of what? To testify of the truth, of reality. And this is something that the world and those that are perishing or in perishable situations, that they are seeking truth. They do want a spiritual experience. That's why they reach out for these different ideologies and these things, that doctrines of demons that have put out there, because there's spiritualism in all those things. And they're hungry for that. And they want to be able to take these identities on and manifest these creatures of the unseen realm. Now, if you had a thought, since you were just a little boy or a little girl, if you had a thought in your head that said that you're not good at math. And he you're not good at math. You're not good at math. And then something over here, this enemy controls, comes over and gets this, comes in, hey, you're not good at math. And start hearing that. And all of a sudden, over a period of time, you don't think you're good at math. Or people having situations, you're not a boy, you're a girl. You're a girl. You're a girl. You're a girl. Years. Now the thoughts over and over again. Any deception you want to go down the road. We've all been deceived at times. And these how these things work. And they reinforce until they get to the place where they get lodged in the mind, where a person believes it over even reality. That's why you have people going in all types of different perversions that are out there. And these are people we love. We've been in it ourselves. That's why we need God's grace. But the Jesus says, I came to bear witness of the truth. And here you have Pilate who has prosecuted however many people. He knows if somebody in front of him is usually guilty or not guilty. When you work with people like that, you know, all day long, okay, so he's sitting there and he goes, everyone who's of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? Here he has a guy in front of him who he knows is completely innocent. And here Pilate goes, tell him, you're a prisoner, tell me what's truth. This is why it's so important that you get yourself so schooled in the area of the gospel of the kingdom that you know what it is, that you know how to lead to someone to the Lord, to tell them about what it is to get born again. In fact, I need to probably just touch on that just a little bit. In John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, actually go to verse 1, it says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. He was the ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So there was an evidence, there was a demonstration of the power of God that the Father put on his son Jesus to demonstrate to the world his authenticity. There's the same power is on you, within you. Don't think for one second, I never thought, don't allow any thoughts to come against you to think that you do not have the power of God residing in you, and that that power of God does not want to be manifested or demonstrated to people who need to hear him, who are coming into his kingdom that are around you, because that's exactly why you're on the planet. You can anticipate, you can expect, and you can desire those things. You know what the scripture says? To earnestly desire spiritual gifting. It doesn't say earn, it says desire. The Holy Spirit will train you and refine you, but you can desire those spiritual giftings because you need it for your mission. You need it for the people that are around you. If someone is in need of healing and we're praying for that, we're praying for healing. We're believing that. We're asking. We're putting demand upon the Spirit of God that he would manifest himself in such a way that would bring healing to a person. And so that's why the scripture says to earnestly desire it. Let's read on here. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's spiritual blindness. Unless you're born again, unless you invite the Lord into your heart and believe that he was sent and died for your sins, and you ask him in your heart, unless you go through that experience and ask him in your heart, you can't see it. But if you ask him into your heart and you want that born again experience, sometimes we need renewal even. But that power, that ability, God, what he does, it's a spiritual seed. It's like when it's being born into something, and all of a sudden the power of God comes and infuses with your heart and becomes one with you, and you get the mind of Christ at that point. It may just be a little seed, but it is within you. But it gives you the ability to open up your eyes, your spiritual eyes, to see the reality of truth. And it's like this whole thing just gets pulled off and all the deception is like, man, I didn't realize how true this is. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. So Jesus is laying it out right there in the beginning, but he's coming with a demonstration of the Father, and people are being drawn. I mean, the miracles that were going through him, and many times, they were almost all the time, they were done in the marketplace. And almost all the time he said, don't tell anybody. And almost all the time they told anybody they could. To the point where he no longer publicly could come into the cities. And we cannot get our mind around this anointing without measure of what was going on. And we've been to some revival, we've been to some big meetings, we've seen some things, nothing like this. I mean, people were streaming. They were finding people. Hey, you're sick. Come on. I mean, can you imagine? It said that power was coming from him and demons were coming out of people. And there wasn't one demon casted out in the Old Testament. That's why they were saying, wow, a new authority that even demons are subject. They knew that there were demons in people, but they've never seen anyone have the power and the authority to cast them out. And how? What are demons? Demons are unseen things that get into people's minds and control them to the point where they can speak through them. That's why the scripture is very clear. Don't let anger go down on the sun go down on your anger, lest the devil get a foothold. I don't know about you, but I've been angry at times, and I know it wasn't God coming out of my mouth. Have you ever been angry just to the stupidest things? It's like it immediately makes you dumb. There's no logic behind it. Righteous anger, maybe, yeah, but not that. You know what I'm talking about? So these things, they penetrate people. But Jesus is showing us how. He said, you've got to be born again. And once you're born again, you can see the truth. 1 Corinthians 2:16. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16 is not what I have down here. Okay, here we go. It says, for he has not known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is imparted to us. In 2 Corinthians 10:15, I think I had that written down wrong, but it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, sorry. It says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up to the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so we have the mind of Christ. And then the scripture tells us that we are destroying speculations and every lofted thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is something that's going on inside of you and inside of me. The mind of Christ is within us. It's functioning and it's operating. And now we have thoughts that come into our lives. We have thoughts of our own, and we have thoughts that are coming from other situations. We have thoughts that come from God. We have to be able to discern them. We discern them through the mind of Christ, through having our mind renewed. And by studying the Word and understanding the Word, we gain knowledge in these areas. And this is how we hear from God. But more than that, this is how you defend yourself. Because it says to put on the helmet of salvation. Your brain needs to be protected. Because the enemy is always trying to distract you. He's always trying to steal from you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. And he does that by coming at you in your mind. He tries to get you out of position. How many people should have been here tonight? I have no idea, but I would gather to say at least 50 more than are here. But why aren't they hearing? I'm not saying that because, you know, this is my meeting. That's not got nothing to do with it. I just know it. I get people that text me and apologize for not coming tonight. I find that, it's fine. I don't have to do that. But I'm starting to get it now that that's God is talking. Why? Because it's important. Because if they come and they're supposed to be here and God does something and they walk out of here with the ability and power to open blind minds, can you see the significance of being here? That's why Jesus sat there and told the disciples, stay in Jerusalem. Until what? Until you what? Receive power from on high. We know he appeared to 500 one time, but how many showed up? This is why it's so important that we get this down, because when we understand that we have the mind of Christ, that we must assess and take every, it doesn't say some thoughts. It says every thought. Now you think, well, that's a real mind load. Does that mean I can't work during that? Yeah, you can work during the day, but keep a little bit of a balance here. But it says every thought. So that means you have the ability and the power of the Holy Spirit to assess every thought. The Word wouldn't put that out to us unless it was possible. And so we see how Jesus functioned in all of this. We see that he said that he only spoke the words the Father told him to speak. He only did the things he saw the Father doing. He showed us how to walk in union with God. He sent the Holy Spirit to stand by us, to be our advocate, to be our comforter, to communicate to us. We know that it says in John that the reason why Jesus was sent was to explain the Father. But we also know that Jesus needed explanation too. So he sent the Holy Spirit to explain him. So we have the Holy Spirit. He's here in manifestation right now. And he is taking thoughts captive in this very room. Because you weren't thinking about the problems that you had before you got here. Now you're thinking, yeah, I want that. I feel so much better not to have all the confusion. It feels good that I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven, and we're all going to be together, and yeah, I like that. I choose A, you know? So you have this going on, but I would submit to you that your callings right now are being illuminated in this one area of ministering to the blind. God is going to have an offensive power that is being released on this earth through every facet of ministry that there is. There isn't any ministry in this room that is not significant, nor is it not important, or that it's not needed. It is essential. And you are strategically positioned tonight. You are strategically positioned when you walk out that door. You are strategically positioned when you go home and you get in the Word or wherever you're praying for, whatever. This is divine appointment time. Because we are in an acceleration. There is judgment that is falling on this country right now that is destroying these demons, destroying these speculations, and they're infiltrated into our governments. It's happening in the world. You're seeing stuff raining down right now, even in the natural, upon evil forces. Why is this happening? Yeah, evil was getting up, but guess what? Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. We're on the winning side. We can't lose. It says in the Word that he always leads us into triumph. So it doesn't matter what you and I are facing with the mind of Christ, taking thought captives, understanding he is leading me into triumph. I will walk into this warfare, but I'm not walking into it alone. I'm walking into it with the power of the Holy Spirit and all of heaven behind me. And I will speak the Word as it comes into my mind as he leads me. I will, in faith, release what I say that he's saying through me that gives me the specific prayer, the right word to that individual, the word of release, the word of comfort, the word of strength, the word of opportunity, the word of blind eyes, be opened. To use the name of Jesus, but to use the name of Jesus when you're being led of the Holy Spirit is a lot different than just saying it. It's believing and understanding that it will get the very results. God's word will be sent into the situation. It will not return to him void. Your ministries are about to be put on fire in a dimension that you've never understood or even known. There are people that have dreamed about this for years that never saw it. They taste it, but they never saw it. You are in that generation. You are the ones that are called to this earth right now. You are the ones that are sent. He is in you and in such a dimension that if you could just understand and see it, but he wants to give it to you tonight. He wants you to leave here with a new experience that you've never had before. He wants you to understand the depths of his love that can look at someone and melt them because he cares about them. He doesn't even bring up their sin because he forgave them. He went to the cross and said, "Your sins are forgiven. You are no longer paralyzed. You are no longer in a state of just being in jail. You are free." Amen. That is the power of Jesus, and his love knows no bounds. And the very eyes, when you look upon him, and you will one day, and you will see his love will sustain you, it will keep you, and it will comfort you for eternity, because he knows no other thing. He didn't come into this world to lose, saints. He came in here to win, and the truth has got to be revealed. There are those that are blind that we're being sent to tomorrow. And it's going to be different. Because you're going to know it. You're going to know it in your spirit. This person is blind, and you're going to get on your knees, and you're going to pray, and you're going to look for that opportunity. And it's going to open up. And it's going to spur you on. And the words of knowledge will flow through you like a river. And you'll be amazed at how in the world did I even know that? God can do incredible things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Richard, would you come up here and real quick? Richard, where are you? Can you sing that song, Humble Thyself in the Sight of the Lord? I think that we plowed to a place in the spirit, and we have gotten to this place. And we just need to just get before His throne room right now and just humble ourselves. And I just want to sing this song and just let the Lord minister the way that He wants to minister. And just is going to believe He's going to fill us. Myself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift us up higher and higher, and He will lift you up. Myself in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up higher and higher, and He will lift you up. Myself in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up higher and higher, and He let's all stand up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I just ask you right now, as those that just stood up, Lord God, as we stood up into your presence, we stood up into your cloud tonight, I just thank you that you're doing a work that we just are so much want to have happen. We have cried out for it. So many in this room, Lord God, have dedicated their life to following you. They have gone from church to church. They have gone from meeting to meeting. They've done ministry. They've done all kinds of things. Maybe, Lord, this is just their new journey. Maybe they're just starting out, God. But, Lord, you know where they're at. So, Lord, I just ask you in the Holy Spirit that you're outpouring, Lord God, this move that we see so clearly on the horizon, Lord. I ask you to charge their spirits right now, that you charge them up and fill them up to overflowing, God, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, with the words, with the knowledge, with the direction. But most importantly, God, it says in your word that when we are born again, that we can see. And I thank you, Lord, that their eyesight, of any kind of speck, if anything that has gotten in their eyes, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, I remove it by faith, by your Holy Spirit, that they would be able to see you clearly, that all blind eyes would open, that any kind of spot, any kind of thing, any kind of board that might be in the way, Lord God, that would be removed by your Holy Spirit tonight, by your presence and by your grace. And I thank you for that, God. And we just praise and we just worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you.
I would love to have the hands laid on me after that, if I may. How could I not? Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Fill her up.
I just receive that.
Fill her up to overflow, God, in Jesus' name. Fill her up, God, in Jesus' name. Fill her up, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome.
Wow. Whoa. Thank you, Father. I receive.
There's a cloud in here, man. There is a real...
Something tonight.
Yeah.
Something.
There's a real cloud in here, man.
Thank you.
I'm getting it, too.
Look, right back.
Yes.
Thank you. For you. Thank you for letting us be in. So just pray that your fire would spread. Thank you for your fire, your holy love.